B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Daily. On today's show, we'll be talking about Twitch and their introduction of the Boost feature. What does this mean for small and medium streamers? Are you on board? Also, we'll talk about an organization paying $25 million U.S. dollars to be involved in the 2K League. And also, Triangle Strategy and Stranger of Paradise, two big Square Enix titles coming in March. We asked, which one would you pick first? And we close the show out today talking about the games yet to release in 2021, what is still on the docket, and what are you excited to pick up before the end of the year. This is Checkpoint Daily,
the latest esports and gaming news. Checkpoint XP Daily has got you covered. Find it online at checkpointxp.com. Get in the game.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. Your host, Norris Howard, here. As always, very excited to bring you guys the latest news in video games and esports. And we know the Esports Awards categories and nominees already came out. We were going to talk about it today. But, you know, I just decided, hey, listen, it's the same folks.
Yeah, nothing shocking.
It's the same people. It's the same folks, the same people. So I just want to say a personal congratulations to friend of the show, Adam Antor, for a nominee for Collegiate Esports Ambassador.
Well deserved.
Oh, shit.
So congratulations on that nomination. And I'm just saying, I mean, I think we had a little bit to do with that. Just saying. He was the only coach co-hosting a show. I'm just saying. But anyway, with that said, to my left, my ace, Weirdbeer, La Barba Obscura. What's up?
I don't know. I'm excited right now. It feels like there is lots happening in the women's Valorant scene. So
I've listen, been following on Twitter.
Yeah, it's
I've
huge.
Been following on Twitter, and the level of behind the scenes is crazy.
Yes.
Dude, I've been watching VCT. First of all, I cannot quite fathom how good C9 White is, how much better they are than everybody else.
Heads and shoulders.
But I'm gonna be honest, man, that damn Shopify, they good too.
And you know what though? You're seeing teams that have been announced for a while.
Yeah.
We are not seeing all of these teams that within the past 2 weeks, if you just went into a coma and woke up 2 weeks later, you'd be like, oh, what? There's only four or five professional women's Valorant teams?
Now there's 25.
50,000. Have a good day.
I'm for it, man. And listen, it's not like the level of play has been garbage. If you actually watch the tournament, it has been
good.
Very, very entertaining to watch. But Chad, to your point, and welcome, Chad, to the show. But Chad, to your point, man, if you're trying to get into this shit, just follow on Twitter, dude.
I don't even call it drama.
It's not
just
drama.
There's a lot of there's a banter back and forth. They're a lot more interesting and engaging than a single male player I've ever seen in esports.
You want to know why?
Because, I don't know, they're more talented people.
I'm not to take that away. My opinion of why they have that is because they have to, it's the difference between being in the WWE and being you have to build your own hype. You have to build your own promos. You have to build your own stories. WWE is all manufactured.
They
do it for you. You kind of, the Sentinels, they're undefeated again.
Well, that's the thing. You can argue that, there's Double Lift and a handful of other these esports people that you know and you recognize and you follow. But this seems like every single one of these people on these teams are so good. All these women and
and you know what it is, and I'm not trying to say this as a trope, but esports stars are woefully inept at being social.
Yeah,
they're nerds.
They just suck at it.
No one trains them to be that.
And that's the part I'm trying to understand, because apparently all these esports orgs have media training for all their players, but I ain't seeing that is a fucking lie. I am not seeing that.
Bare minimum if there is.
Yeah, but I feel like when you look at some of these Valorant women's teams, what training do they need? They got it. They understand it. They understand that the shit is wrestling. They understand that it's basically just the more drama you can inject into the story, the better.
And it's funny to watch two people go at each other, even if it's just playful. And that's kind of what it seems like.
I also, they don't lean on the same stupid bullshit insults that, you know, that other male esports.
Dude, you're fucking trash, bro. I'm ready. And you know what? I hope to be one of the people that's been talking about it since before it started being big, and then have it be big. And,
dude, like, and, don't you?
I will be this. I'll play the smaller role.
There is a feeling of, like, we are the people shouting from the mountaintops about, like, the U.S. women's soccer team, like, in 1997. Like, we're those people.
Like, 2019 who, win.
Yes, we're, like, in 97 going, like, watch women's soccer. And then here we are 5 years later going, like, oh, now you motherfuckers want to listen to us.
It feels like Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future.
Yes.
Like, yeah, a little too early for you, but your kids are going to love it.
It's like when you saw, like, your favorite band at, like, some, like, hole in the wall. Yes. And then all of a sudden, now they're like in the middle of New York.
It does feel like that. It does feel like that. Yeah. I just hope it doesn't have the effect of, like, I don't know, like a Phoebe Bridgers effect, where, like, people really like her in the indie scene, and then she does one big record, and now it's just like, oh, she's passe now.
No,
but anyway,
I don't think it'll happen.
But. Yeah, but anyway, with all that said, here's what's happening in the world of video games. Now, let me tell you something. The Twitter discourse has been alight with this conversation, and rightfully so, in my opinion. Twitch made an announcement yesterday that they are going to be introducing the Twitch Boost feature once more. Now, this already was introduced last year. I don't want anybody to think this is a completely new thing. But this is a feature that allows viewers to essentially create paid ads or pay for paid ads for their favorite streamer.
To be specific, they are saying that you can buy impressions, which is a specific thing that is quantifiable. An impression is something, like, if you're looking on Twitch, it doesn't mean that you interact. You're not engaging with it. It doesn't mean that you're getting a thousand viewers.
It's essentially a view, but, like, in passing. It's kind of like when you scroll a feed on Facebook.
Correct. Yes. So it's very important to understand the context of what Amazon is essentially shilling right now.
Yes. So they previously introduced it, and it was only available through channel points. Now, channel points are sort of like a currency that you get through Twitch from just viewing, just being in the channel, engaging, chatting, doing all sorts of things. That's the only way you could get channel points. This is going to be direct monetization, meaning you will pay actual money to Twitch in order to increase impressions for this particular streamer. Now, a lot of people have pushed back on this one, and in my opinion, rightfully so. And Chad, we briefly talked about it, and you have a slightly different perspective on it, and we're going to get to it. But for me, this just reeks of furthering the divide. It just reeks again of streamer classism, if you will. And what I mean by saying that is that generally paid ads, I don't mind. People use paid ads all the time. Yeah. You use them on Facebook. You use them on Twitter.
Yeah, welcome
to
2021.
We just exist in a world.
Welcome to the real world where there's paid ads everywhere, okay? Let's get over that right now. Yeah. I'm not arguing against paid ads. What I am arguing against is Twitch passing the buck to viewers. And what I mean by that is there is no language in the announcement that says the streamer will get any cut of this feature. It is literally just an ad for them, which doesn't guarantee the viewership, doesn't guarantee they get any money from this, doesn't guarantee anything. So really, it's just getting viewers to throw their money into an abyss and hope that, you know, more people see their favorite streamer, which I think is okay, but you prey on the benevolence of the viewer. Yes, I think there are certain streams all of us love to support. We love to watch certain streamers. We love to subscribe. We love to interact with the chat. We love the community they've built. But I like my subscription dollars because my subscription dollars goes to that person.
Yeah.
And that is the thing I think that viewers are going to be upset about this. So that's sort of where I stand. Chad, you have a different view on this, especially considering you do a lot of social media. You understand the other side of this ads part.
Yeah.
So hit me with your stance.
All right. So there's two things that I think need to happen first before this even goes out. I think there's – the first thing is there should be a cap. Like, I don't want, don't be throwing no money at Ninja. Mm-hmm. Don't be throwing money at Pokimane. Like, it should be a certain level of, like,
do you think if you get partnered?
If you get partners,
partners can't use it.
It's for affiliates only, or like low level partner. Maybe there's a follower cap or something. I don't know, or sub cap. Actually, that would be better.
Sub cap.
A sub cap, because that's actually cash, right? So that's the first thing.
I agree with that.
So, but, and I see what you're saying about the whole, like, you know, it not helping the little guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you do that, at least it's going for the middle guy, which is the people who actually have the talent to continue.
Yeah.
Because honestly, let's be honest, the little guy, those, you know, 99% who are also streaming on there with like 0 to 1, there's a reason.
Yeah.
I you know what's like embarrassing more than anything else about this is that Twitch has heard for years of people going, hey, we want a discovery algorithm. Hey, we want to be able to discover people. And they're like, oh,
pay for it.
Fuck you. Here you go. Like, it's like the South Park thing where they do the Comcast where they're just like, oh, there's no other video streaming platform.
But that's what I'm saying is that, like, okay, instead of Twitch doing the actual work of creating a true discoverability algorithm, what you've done is you've told the viewers now, you got to come out with the cash. We know how much money Amazon has.
I'll agree.
We know it.
Well, that was going to be my second part. I think this should be toggleable. Like, it should be an option for the person to click on as an option. Like, you shouldn't just be like, okay, go ahead and do it anyways behind my back. And if you do toggle it, you should be able, and I don't know if this is possible, you should be able to track the metrics.
See, and that's another thing, is because I don't know if the streamer will then be able to follow where those new views are coming from. So they can't necessarily...
That would be my turnoff. If it doesn't give me the ability... Like, the only reason I ever put money into ads, and, you know, we do marketing. Like, I'm just going to say I do the marketing for Checkpoint. The only reason I care about that stuff is because I want to see where things come from. I want to see where the money went. I want to see the KPIs of everything. I'm doing all these fancy terms. But, like, I want to know that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it helps you.
It's useless.
It helps you dictate where to point the content, and that's the thing, is that if you're a streamer and you notice that you are consistently getting raided by two or three other streamers, okay, it behooves you to make a relationship with those streamers. It behooves you to open a dialogue with them. That's a very one-to-one, straightforward relationship. But if you're just getting random 200 extra viewers from somewhere in the ether, you don't know where it came from, how are you supposed to capitalize on that new viewership?
So, you know what else sucks about this is it's definitely people who are small streamers, ones that struggle to do the, you know, three
to make like affiliate or whatever. Yeah.
They're going to see this as the way. You know what I mean?
I hope not.
But they are.
And that's the thing, is that what is then to stop somebody who wants to start streaming, who may have the residual cash? You know, maybe this is an older streamer.
Here's the stop.
Yeah.
Affiliate start. You can't just start from the go.
Mm-hmm.
Because at least then you do have to have a bare minimum of 3 viewers there. So, like, I get it. It's still small.
But even still, take me. I'm an affiliate, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What is then to stop me from just Venmoing my buddy $400 and say, come in and give me $400 worth of paid ads?
Nothing necessarily. I mean, it does seem like it's a bad thing when you put it in that way. But I do see the value for medium-sized streamers. I don't think this is something for anyone who has less than probably 20 viewers on average. Mm-hmm. This is for someone who's like regularly has the 100 viewers and has a decent sub count, but not quite at that threshold I was talking about. There's a value there, because at that point, you're starting to make a brand. You're starting to make a business. And I think this is for them, and I think we're overlooking that.
I mean, listen, like
but
I
we,
said.
But we do have to make it more clear that that's for them.
Paid ads as an idea is not bad. I don't begrudge that. But on a platform that touts it's supposed to be all about organic growth and community and all this other bullshit.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
It's fuckery, Chad. Like, I feel you and I understand your perspective, but this is absolute fuckery, and I don't see people adopting this.
Maybe.
I'm
just hoping it's more manageable than less manageable.
I will say this. This will blow up if one of those medium-sized streamer comes out and says, this saved my channel. If a medium-sized streamer who is popular enough or hits a wave on a new game, right, gets that boost and they go, my channel went from 50 viewers on average to 1,200 on average because I got boosted over the course of a month. If somebody comes out and says it, shit is over. The genie is out of the bottle.
Here's what I see, though, especially with Twitch, is that there's a whole subculture of Twitch streamers that join, like, the... You know, let's grow together, follow teams, for follow.
Yeah, don't do that, first off.
But that's been ingrained in a large majority of the Twitch community as the way to become affiliate. I believe that once this is available,
they'll try to do the same
thing. This is going to be co-opted into how people
And then it becomes the streamer multi-level marketing people.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
The last thing I'll say is there is a fairly easy and free way to get popular or get some views, and I'm going to give you the secret. Create a TikTok and create a YouTube Shorts account and start making them.
Start making them.
Now's the time before it gets so filled with people that you can't get out there. Right now's the time. Mm-hmm. Not tomorrow. Right now. And start making them at least every day. If you could do that. If you do one a day, like, just take clips from your games, funny things that you're doing, whatever. Just do that. I guarantee it. I see success on Twitch from people all the time on TikTok. So I guarantee you'll eventually get some views.
There you go. That's good advice, Chad. Dropping gems on you. Now, moving forward to some shit that I didn't expect to be talking about today, but something that I find incredibly, incredibly troubling to a certain extent is that a esports organization out of Spain is putting forth $25 million to be a part of the NBA 2K League. Rick, you brought this up. You got some further details on this one.
Yeah, so essentially it's a group called Dux, D-U-X Gaming. They are going to be the second expansion team following in the footsteps of G2. They're going to be an esports organization based out of Spain. The team itself will be based in Mexico. But again, yes, they paid $25 million to be able to join the NBA 2K League.
So here's the thing that I want to say first and foremost is that I think for a NBA 2K League to cost just as much, if not slightly more, than an Overwatch League slot, that's not the same.
So it's a slot, essentially. So it has the other teams that are in the NBA 2K League have to pay
only
this Gen-G as well?
Only Gen-G.
Yeah, I mean, so remember also that it's through in partnership with the NBA.
So the majority of those teams are wings of NBA teams. They didn't have to do a whole buy-in type thing.
It's because these people aren't part of that NBA culture. Right. So they have to bring the
right.
You know,
so Gen-G was the first Gen-G of Shanghai. The Gen-G Tigers of Shanghai, they were the first ones to be a part of the 2K League that did not have a NBA affiliate.
Did they have to pay out the butt?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
But I think it's going to be really crazy as this starts expanding outside of, like, North American, meaning, like, Canadian and United States.
And Mexico.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, like, it's not as well known going down into Mexico. So how is it going to fare?
I think that's the calculus from the NBA 2K League, right? Which is, if we take a team and base them out of Mexico, this will help grow our esports efforts in Mexico.
And it's still in the country.
And
it's still
on the continent. And they want to grow their brand in Mexico and in South America and the Spanish speaking world.
So do you think it would be cheaper to do it in Mexico? If they were in the U.S., do you think they would have charged you even more?
Well, you don't want to set a precedent of being like, you only charged them $25 million, the next person comes on. Well,
no, I think the $25 million is because this is an organization that wanted to be rubbing elbows with the NBA, right? I think that's
the price more
than
anything
else. That's why it costs so much. I don't think the cost is really about participating in the esports league in general.
Not
because
at all.
For the Overwatch League, looking at what the Overwatch League was in season one, season two, and the behemoth that it was positioning itself to be, we're talking about with the Twitch viewership and then the YouTube deal and then this and then that. So looking at what it was positioning itself as, I could see $18, $20 million, and they was bringing in the biggest sponsors you could think of. I mean, Coca-Cola, Honda, Xfinity.
That's interesting.
That was the biggest sponsors of any esports that you could think of. You know, Bud Light, whatever, whatever. These are huge sponsors. So that was a lot of money potentially on the table for a lot of these owners to look at. I think when we're looking at the 2K League, the price is not just let me be involved with the esports league. That price is let me be involved with the NBA by proxy.
I don't know for sure because I don't watch NBA 2K. I will admit, is the viewership there enough to justify $25 million? That's why I didn't.
It's growing. So. It's growing.
It's growing.
It's a growing esport.
Okay.
And so that's a
quotes.
Rick is giving me air quotes, but I mean numbers are numbers. It's a growing esport.
It is definitely the trajectory is upwards.
Yeah. But now is it bringing in 250,000 viewers in just North America? No.
Okay.
It's not doing that. It's not League of Legends level. It's
so
not
you're
Overwatch
not
level.
Right now, the base level isn't worth that alone.
That $25 million
not
is
for this.
3 years from now will be a big esport.
Okay. It's way more of like if you came to me, Chad, and you owned an esports organization, you go, hey, we have $50 million to buy a spot in something. Do you want to buy a spot in Valorant or do you want to buy a spot in NBA 2K League? You would be a psycho to say NBA 2K League. However, if they go, hey, we're looking in a couple years to really grow a, you know, grow a partnership, and
NBA is going to be really involved,
we want you guys to be a part of our direct line into Latin America.
You get to be the face of Mexican NBA 2K League, and like Nora said, be that pipeline into Latin America and trying to get first experience.
That's a fair sell.
That's a sell. That's a good sell. Yeah. So. On paper, $25 million, I get it, big numbers, but I think positioned correctly and if the trajectory of the league keeps going, it may pan out for them. But as it stands right now, I don't know if I could justify that much money for NBA 2K. I can't justify that for any esports slot outside of Valorant League and maybe Dota. Only because you can fuck around and win one international and be set for the rest. You're set for the rest of your fucking life. But anyway, Tokyo Game Show is also happening this weekend, and we got our first look at some of the keynotes over the past couple days. Now we already know Nintendo came out the gate swinging, hitting everybody in the face with the best direct I think they've ever done.
Yeah.
But we also had some presentations from Capcom, 505 Games, Square Enix, and the sort. We did get a reveal from Capcom that Monster Hunter Rise is going to be getting a Steam port.
Cool.
It's going to be upscaled and all that good stuff. So for those of you who've been wanting to play Monster Hunter Rise but didn't want to play it on the Switch, you'll play it on Steam, which I'm happy about. Full, you know, upscaled, widescreen support.
I mean, that's fair. It just feels like... that's not the kind of thing I expect from Tokyo Game Show.
It's the last one of the year.
It's just so funny.
The only time Tokyo Game Show was super duper 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 relevant is when Square Enix and Konami collectively said, this is going to be our shit. They don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
I will also say an interesting piece of news that came out of there. Phil Spencer, head of Xbox, during one of his presentations while he's speaking, he gave the quote, every single day we're working to increase our lineup of Japanese games in order to help bring Japanese games around the world. I think that's different.
It's intelligent. And let me tell you why. Because Xbox is never going to sell in Japan. It's just not.
The reason I think
Game Pass will. And during their presentation for Xbox, it was heavy emphasis on Game Pass. As a matter of fact, today they just added like 4 JRPGs. Already play the vast majority of the Final Fantasies on the platform. You can play a number of other smaller Japanese games. They really are trying to increase their offerings for that, so I think it's intelligent.
Do you know why the PS1 and the PS2 are some of the best-selling consoles of all times? Because they had some of the best RPGs and JRPGs.
Yeah.
And the fact that one of the things that turned me off of buying Xboxes for a long, long time.
Because the only JRPG was Lost Odyssey.
There's no JRPG. None.
They did have Fable, though, which isn't a JRPG, but it's an RPG.
It's a good game.
Yeah, but
would you call Fable revolutionary in the same sense, like a Final Fantasy 7 or 10 or something like that.
No, but I will still like stick up for it because it was still a good, like, a good long game.
I like Fable. I'm just saying, I think that Sony has been on top for too long when it comes to like the Japanese market, right?
Yeah.
Like they don't
they're based there. So
yeah, but
sense.
They've been complicit in like, oh well, this
the
is
the JRPG
just what we do.
Monopoly, if you will.
I think it's gonna stay like that. I don't see Japan ever being like, yeah, we're gonna start giving all our money to the American
company. I don't see it either. I think you'll see a lot of what the current paradigm is, which it will release timed exclusively to Sony.
Yep.
It eventually will make its way to Game Pass, which in my opinion is the most consumer friendly of all
yeah,
of
it's
it.
Just it's part of your subscription, so it's not like you're paying for the game.
It's
yeah.
just it, and it's like it,
and if you wanted to play only, it right away, pay
the only reason why I'm getting a PS5 is because there are certain games I want to play the day they come out.
You know, like this is just crazy because it's I would say Tokyo Game Show is more irrelevant than E3 at this point, which is a hard bar to miss. But it's also it seems like Japan as a country. Not that they've given up on video games, but goddamn, do they just not want to fight for like?
No, because here's the thing. I think Japan is going through a massive cultural crisis right now mm-hmm. because they are like not replenishing their population, and also there's a lot of people. There's a stigma. The stigma that we had in the 80s and 90s about video games, about like these reclusive shut-ins, you know, yeah. mom's basement. That is resurfacing
in Japan
mm-hmm. with the herbivore man. I'm not sure if you've heard of this term, but the herbivore man is a person who wants to stay at home, play video games, has digital waifus and body pillows and all this stuff, has no interest in career advancement, no interest in marriage.
A soy boy.
Yeah. It's that's the equivalent. The equivalent is like soy boy.
They don't eat meat to be men.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They have the power, the vitality, the testosterone.
I forgot that meat gives you manliness.
Yeah. Listen, we know, okay? Japan still has a lot of old tropes. They got the same shit they got to deal with, too. But the point is that's becoming a huge thing in Japan, a big cultural conversation that they're having. So I think video games by proxy are getting sort of hit, if you will, in Japan. But also, let's just keep it funky. The West stepped up. In the mid-2000s, going through the 2010s, Western developers stepped their fucking game up.
Yeah.
When we talking about games like Halo and Call of Duty and The Last of Us, all of Bethesda, the Uncharted series, all those games are all Western developed games. And really, when the JRPG and the fighting game fell off, most of Japan fell off.
Yeah.
So now that you're starting to see those have sort of a resurgence, maybe Japan will have a resurgence. And speaking of JRPGs, we did get solid dates for Final Fantasy Souls, a.k.a. Stranger in Paradise. That'll be coming out March 18th.
Boo.
What?
I'm not sold on it yet. Like, yeah. I don't think it's going to be bad. I'm just not...
Did y'all play the demo?
I didn't know.
No.
See, that's why.
Because
playing the demo low-key... Fun as shit.
Was it?
By the way, they're doing another run of the demo until October 11th. I believe
it
is out now. Yes.
On PlayStation 5 or can I actually play it?
Let me check. I'll get back to you on that
okay.
one. But I know I played it on PS4. So
I believe the demo may be back out.
But it was fun. It's Souls. You know?
I'll play the demo. It might change my mind.
It is Souls with none of the shit that makes me hate Souls, with the like unusual dourness and tentacle monsters and like, you know,
I guess I
like the ability to be able to switch jobs in the middle.
That's a lot more Bloodborne than Dark Souls.
Well, it's a Souls game.
Yeah.
But the thing I like the most about it is you can switch jobs in the middle of your level. So if you're just like, oh, this thing hits really hard, but, you know, doesn't move much. Okay, I'll switch to Dragoon so I can be more mobile.
Could Ten-2 do that? I'm trying to remember. Can you switch jobs mid-game? I mean, you couldn't move around. But
You could switch spheres mid-battle.
I thought so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got that.
A little bit from that.
And Chad, again, you're excited about Triangle Strategy.
Hate the name, love the idea.
That's coming out March 4th.
It's gonna be great.
It's gonna be so good.
It's gonna be good. I'm so hyped for this game. I can't even contain it.
Because you know what this does, especially after me playing Fire Emblem, which rekindled my strategy game fire, if you will. Seeing Final Fantasy Tactics combined with Octopath Traveler, basically, what is there not to like?
Yeah.
What is there not to like? If you don't like this shit, I'm going to just be honest with you. If you don't like this shit, then, you know what I'm saying, go play Halo. Because, you know what I'm saying, this ain't,
it's not for everybody.
It's not for everybody. But the people who been wanting a game like this, I feel like this
I'm excited because... as much as Octopath is a great game, one of my favorite games, it's one of those fallen off everyone's radar, probably because no one played it or it was on, you know, the Game Boy Advance. But Final Fantasy Tactics Advance, not just Tactics.
Tactics Advance,
which is a whole different game.
That one's a good one.
Are you talking about? That was great.
We don't talk about that one.
No,
it was good.
It was not good.
On the original PS, I do not.
If it's not War of the Lions, we don't care.
That was a really great one.
No, actually, I'm more of a Thunder God Sid man myself.
I see. I just love that one, and this is giving me those vibes mixed with like you said, Octopath a little bit.
The aesthetics. I think the battle system is also cool because I'm like, wait a minute, I just used a fire spell in the middle of a forest. Shouldn't this bitch catch on fire?
Oh, it did.
All right. But anyway, that's going to be it for part one. In part two, we're going to stick on our topic of game releases as we talk about the games yet to come out in 2021. Stick around. We got more Checkpoint Daily.
Bring the heat. Share your thoughts on socials with us at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. You could even be featured on tomorrow's show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Checkpoint Daily, your number one resource for esports news and video game news as well. Weird Beard and Chad Callahan joining me on the show. And one thing I definitely want to say is 2021 has been a strange year. Not as strange as last year, but very strange nonetheless. But the video games have been hitting us in the face with some classics, and we are still prepared for even more coming out before the end of the year. So, Weird Beard, what is coming out in the rest of 2021 we need to look forward to? Because my pockets are already hurting, and I feel like it's not going to get better.
All right, so I have 9 games here that are going to be released before the end of the year. You can tell me whether or not you're interested in them. We'll start with, on October 12th, the release of the Left 4 Dead spiritual successor, Back 4 Blood.
I already have the pre-download. Yeah. I have everything. Yes, I know everyone has their... issues with some of the
Rick
stuff.
Is the only motherfucker who got issues.
Yeah.
I still like it, though. Like, I still
I
would say
need,
it's a
yes. I
think
you need the game to come out, and then you maybe you'll change
yeah,
it to
we,
a little
we
bit.
Yeah, exactly. We ain't know. By the way, we streaming? We streaming?
Oh, 100%.
We streaming? All right, cool. We streaming? Yes. All right, bet.
Next up, on October 26th, there's a lot on October 26th, Guardians of the Galaxy. How do we feel about this
game? All right, here's how I feel.
I'm torn.
I got to see somebody else play it first.
We'll
watch
Robbie play it.
I don't have full confidence after seeing Avengers.
Yeah.
It looks way better than Avengers.
It looks really good.
It looks super good, but we're past the point where, oh, it looks good, we'll buy. Like, we're past that.
Yeah. Rick, where you at? This one?
Hard pass.
I'm really? Really?
I'll watch it. I'll literally watch somebody else play some of it.
Yeah.
But I am so uninterested in it.
You know what this kind of reminds me of? And it just feels like a non-Lego version of one of the Lego games.
No, you know what it
is? You know what? That's accurate.
It makes me feel the same way that I felt about Outriders. I bought into Outriders with Robbie very early for a $60 game.
Stop listening to Robbie right away before things come out.
No, I convinced Robbie.
Oh, you did it.
Yes. I was like, Robbie, we got to play this. It's going to be fun.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. When is the last time Square Enix did shooters well?
Yeah. I just
There you go.
This looks okay, though.
Next up, on October 26th, a follow-up to one of my favorite games of all time. Darkest Dungeon 2 is finally going to be seeing the light of day after, I think, a development period of another, 5 years?
The Dungeon Crawler bros are very excited about this one. I have seen nothing but praise for the series and the game, so I'm excited that that cohort of gamers will be getting their sequel.
Have you ever played it?
No, I have not, but...
Oh, God. Okay, so listen. So you take...
Why did you say that?
I should have said yes. Just say yes.
You take adventurers into the dungeon, but okay. instead of, like, every time you fight, they... You don't just have a health bar that you can heal.
Oh, sanity meter.
They have, yeah,
Tim
they have,
played this. Yes. I watched him play it.
It's
yes,
very,
yes,
very
yes.
good at it. It's their stress levels.
It's like a kind of Paper Mario style, I guess you could mm-hmm. call it.
Stylized. It's dope. It's good. Check it out. Also on October 26th, Solar Ash... Have you guys heard anything about
Oh, yeah. The Solar Ash is almost like that free-running style game that's like the almost cel-shaded art
it's
style.
Beautiful
yeah,
for the
it's
art
gorgeous.
Style. Ooh. And it shows lots of, like, you're moving very fast and able to go through. It's there's a game that that's kind
oh,
of like that
this.
That released, I'll have to remember the name, but Solar Ash looks really, really good. It's also one of the first games that was shown off in the original PS5.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. It was a thing where I wanted the music for it to be like real high tempo and like...
But super serene.
But it's like serene and chill and shit. And it's like, I'm not playing fucking... Flow or
Minecraft.
Journey or anything like that. Like I wanted to match.
I don't know if that'll be my speed of a game. I feel like I'd pick it up once and I'd won't
never
play
touch
it
again.
Have you ever played? Okay, so the first game in this series is Hyperlight Drifter. Have you ever played that game?
No, I haven't.
Dog, another like 10 out of 10 okay. game. It's all published by Annapurna. Annapurna
okay,
Interactive.
Annapurna.
So listen, if anything else, go by the track record of the publisher.
Yeah. Okay.
After that, on November 5th, Call of Duty Vanguard.
So okay, I was in the beta. This will be the second straight year I skip Call of Duty.
I'm regardless out. Of whether the game looks good or not, because it doesn't look anything like super exciting to me. Like I don't need this World War II era thing again. I'm over
it. It's not even that. Because when they did World War II on for Call of Duty World War II,
yeah.
I was just like, ugh. This looks good. And I've gushed about the sound design. The sound design is immense. Playing that shit on PS4 was a garbage, wonky mess. Disgust. And even then, I'm not sure if the PS5 version will convince me that this is much better.
I don't want to play with old guns. It sounds weird. I don't want to play with old guns.
And I'm gonna be straight up with you. I'd be interested to see what the numbers for this game do in lieu of the Activision Blizzard scandal.
Well, I mean, if anything, the one saving grace is that Call of Duty League is going to be played there. I think, like, for me, I have to at least be familiar with Call of Duty Vanguard if I'm going to ever talk about it again.
Aren't they doing something to Warzone regarding this too? Like, aren't they like changing
Warzone is their persistent thing. So, like,
but they
yes,
change will, mappy kind of things.
Yeah, it'll be some map changes. More weapons will be added to it. Okay. You know, whatever.
All right. Well, if you're not interested in old weapons, how do you feel about on November 19th the release of Battlefield 2042?
The trailer.
100 people? Or 132 or whatever the number was of people in one freaking game.
I just play Battlefield and I'm just mad. Like I'm just upset at playing it because it never feels satisfying to me.
I'm not a huge Battlefield fan, but I do love the idea that like things are destructible and that aspect of Battlefield always was fun.
Yeah.
But it is one of those things that's a little bit more skill-based than, say, Call of Duty, because it's a lot, like, harder to navigate, I would say. So, I don't know. I'm kind of sold on the idea. I don't know if I'm going to buy it day one. I'm going to see the reviews of actual people playing it. But I'm, like, every time the trailer comes out, like, before I know that it's Battlefield, I'm like, this looks cool. And then, oh, it's Battlefield.
I feel like, so everybody here is in agreement that if we had to choose between Call of Duty Vanguard or Battlefield 2042, it's Battlefield.
I'm taking Battlefield.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
All right. After that, November 19th, also releasing next to Battlefield 2042, the incomplete opposite of a shooty McShoot game, Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and the Shining Pearl remakes for the Nintendo Switch.
I'm out.
Really?
I'm out.
I never did play these, the originals, so...
A lot of people actually didn't, so that's why I think that...
Which system did it come out? It was on the... Was it Advance? I don't even know what it came out on. So that's the thing, like, I had an Advance, but, like, I think I didn't have one when this came out, and I skipped one.
No, this is on the DS.
Oh, it was on the DS.
Yeah.
I did have a DS. I don't know why I skipped this one. I just feel like this one skipped me. Maybe I didn't like the generation. I can't remember what generation it is.
I think that this was – Diamond and Pearl were the entry points for a lot of people. Yeah. Right? Yes. It was the Leaf Green, Fire Red, yeah. And you have kind of the next generation. But Diamond and Pearl was the
– It was like the generation under us. So like our younger siblings and maybe even – kids maybe 7 to 10 years younger than us.
They were first released September 28th, 2006.
See, that's what I'm saying. So if Pokemon came out in 90, what was it, 99? No, was it? Red and Blue came out in 99. No, they didn't. They came out in like 96 or 7. It was not 99.
Unless it was a U.S. release, 99.
It was not. It was not.
Sorry, 98, September 28th. Okay, 98.
So, 98. So, yeah, you talk about almost a decade later. Yeah, that's who that game's for. And that's okay. I'm okay with letting them have their game.
I mean, I might consider it, maybe not full price, but I might consider it like, yeah.
So hit us with a couple more and then we'll wrap up for the day. So.
December 3rd, Advance Wars 1 and 2 reboot.
We were just talking about Advance Wars.
I know.
We were just talking about
it. I'm absolutely buying
this. I might try it because I never got into Advance Wars, but I may try it.
You need to. And then the last one, the biggest one, possibly of the year, maybe, I don't know. December 8th, Halo Infinite.
Hype.
We'll see.
Even if I don't buy the game, because I probably won't, I'm playing multiplayer too.
I'll play the multiplayer simply because I have it on Game Pass.
Yeah.
But I just.
Best believe I'm gonna have the coolest looking.
I'm just waiting for the. I am. Listen, Halo has not been a big marquee game in the context of what our social media
is.
Can
I change you with a sick Spartan skin that I make and I send to you?
No.
Is it going to be like Animal Crossing for outfits where you just design other
I mean, first of all, that'd be sweet.
Going to be making what do you mean? Like,
that's
outfit.
The yeah, that's the draw. All
right.
But I'm just saying is that I think Halo is going to suffer from the fact that the discourse around video games is what it is right now, and the moment somebody's unhappy with it,
I'm hoping
somebody big enough, it's gonna be hard. It's gonna be a hard hill to climb.
I'm hoping this takes up some of the missing elements that I feel for the Unreal games.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's fair.
Because if it does, I'm wholeheartedly
There's no Unreal, no Quake, no
I need this to fill that hole that I haven't had for like a decade.
Yeah. All right, I feel that. But anyway, that's gonna be it for this week of Checkpoint Daily. We'll be back here on Monday, so make sure you guys tune in for that. There's gonna be a bunch of stuff to watch from TGS over the weekend, so make sure you guys tune in. We'll be talking about that when we return off of the weekend. So for Weird Beer and Chad Callahan, I am your host, Norris Howard, and we will see you tomorrow. Well, not tomorrow, on Monday. My bad. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.